My name is Trip Gorman, and this might be one of my favorite episodes of Simia VC so far, and it's certainly the most non-traditional. I spoke with Leo Quintao, founder of Smooth, a retail smoothie company founded in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yes, Simia VC is a podcast about Latin American VC and technology, but Smooth is a smoothie shop I came across in Sao Paulo when walking down the street in Sao Paulo over the summer. I saw a sign for zero sugar smoothies. It felt like back home in the United States, even more specifically, back home in California. When I walk up to the counter, Leonardo and his co-founder greeted me first, very kindly, first in Portuguese, and when they found out that my Portuguese was not sufficient, then in English, and they told about their company, Smooth. They said after spending time in the US, he wanted to bring healthy zero sugar smoothies to Brazil and popularize them, just like some enterprising entrepreneurs had done in the past decade by bringing acai from Brazil to the United States. This was a fascinating Simia VC interview, and we discussed everything you'd ever want to know about operating a brick and mortar business in Brazil, how Leo prioritizes safety as a retail location in Brazil's security situation, how Brazilian hourly workers are paid and their wages, and what their wages are for retail workers in Brazil, and why he doesn't hire and place friends together in the same store. I really enjoyed this interview, and we talked about all this and more in this episode of Simia VC. So today I'm with Leonardo. As the intro just said, it's a bit of a different episode, but I'm excited to talk about what it's like operating a brick and mortar business in Sao Paulo. So as I said in the intro, you are a quick service smoothie chain that is healthy. Could you explain to the audience what Smooth is and why you got that?
Exactly. I think like for the audience, it would be like easy to know what Smooth is because we study a lot the American market, California, Miami, New York. So it's a smoothie company, a healthy smoothie company. And we don't have that in Brazil. And I was studying like how the smoothie business started. And I saw that it started in California, I think in the 1930s, something like that. With the California community, they learned how to do like a bunch of juices with a lot of fruits that they learned with the Brazilian guys, and they just put ice on it. And I said, all right, so they learned it with us. We don't have nothing like this in Brazil. So I think we have something to do over here. Like, let's get this back here in Brazil. So we started 5 months ago. We had 4 stores running so far. We have 6 stores that will be open until November. And so that's the short story, long story short.
Amazing. So there's so many things I want to discuss. The first thing is, you know, starting a brick and mortar business, how much capital was required to build that?
All right. So in Brazil, like everything, it's expensive and it's hard. In Sao Paulo, it's more expensive. So you need a lot of cash. And like here, you don't have like this credit, this like cheap credit that you can get it. So you need like, you want me to say in dollars or in reais?
If you know the dollars, that would be great, but reais is fine.
All right. So to run like 5 stores, you need like $200,000.
Okay.
A little bit more like 300,000, something like that. So you can like open 5 stores, something, but small stores, right? Not huge stores. Our stores are like really small. I know just in meters. I don't know in square feet because we don't use square feet over here. So we need like 9 square meters. That's it for us. It's a big store. So we can have like 3 to 4 days of fruits and stuff. So we don't have to get a lot of data getting the product in the stores. So something like that, you can like start a business like this.
And so you mentioned the location. I think that kind of plays into the question that I want to ask of who is your ideal customer? And so based on that, where are you putting these locations to target that ideal customer?
All right. So our ideal customer is someone who like already travels a lot. But the ideal customer, it's someone between like 19 to 20 years old until there's like 39, 45, the guy that like works out, that wants like take care of the health, always on the rush, don't have time of like stopping for lunch, stopping for dinner. So you just need one hand to have your meal. So everybody between that age that it's in a rush. And in Brazil, as I said, like we don't have the smoothie culture, you know, we just, so it's something new for us over here. It's like the acai for the Americans, like something new that you guys have, you learned it, what was acai, yes. Then you start like consuming it a lot. And like in Brazil, it's the opposite. Like we already know what it is acai, but we don't know what it is a smoothie. But so people don't know when to take it, how to take it, or when to put on their diet on their day. So we are teaching that. So the perfect customer is somebody who's already traveled and has the contact with a smoothie company in United States, Europe, Australia, these countries that have like a lot of smoothie culture involved. So they already know how to take it. They tell the people that they know, oh, there's something really nice that I used to drink like every day when I lived in London, when I lived in California, New York, and these guys are doing that in Brazil right now. So this is the perfect customer for us. We just opened a store in a college here. It's called FAAP. It's one of the biggest colleges here, and it's like an expensive college. And like, it's our customer, like in the vein, like in the blood, like. We are selling, it's our best store. We are selling like what we sell in Faria Lima, that is like the financial center of São Paulo. What we sell there in the whole day, we sell in FAAP in 3 hours.
Wow.
So wow. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's quite interesting. And I think you've hit that spot on, because as I told you, when I first met you in front of your store, I saw the sign, and the sign spoke to exactly what I want and I get in the U.S. But because I was in Brazil for 6 weeks, I hadn't gotten that. And I saw that, and that's why I went in. And so the question I have based on that, first, congratulations on hitting that perfectly. When you talk with some of the people who maybe are from Brazil and who haven't had smoothie experiences in places like the United States and Europe, what do they say? What are those questions? What are the common misconceptions? And how have you tailored smoothies to Brazil in the same way that acai is probably a little bit different here than it is in Brazil?
Yeah, actually, our taste is a little bit different from the American taste. We like something sweeter. So we created our blends with a nutritionist. So she created all our recipes. But we get all the recipes that we, like, I drank, like, I stayed in New York and Miami for, like, 50 days. It was, like, 50, 55 days. And I drank, like, Joe the Juice, Smoothie King, Juice Press Regeneration, Pura Vida, Jamba Juice, Java Juice. I went through all these stores in like 8-9 times a day. Like, you know, like join the juice in like West New York, like upper East or Upper West. I think that it's Upper West. And then I went to Soho. I went to another join the juice, like just to see how they were making, like how they are doing, so we can do exactly the same here and like do it better. Because when you have like something already running, you can like do stuff like better or try to be better than they are doing. Like, we are not better than them, but I think we can get there. So we mixed it, the recipes from our nutritionist with our what we have it from United States and what we know that the Brazilian guys like it. So we put a lot of fruit, like we don't put a lot of ice. Like in America, you guys like a lot of ice. Here, we don't like a lot of ice because the ice for us, it's like it takes away the taste. So we put a lot of fruit. So that's the difference. And the logo and everything, I think that there's a, even in America and Europe and Australia, I think there's a certain like population that it's, they don't have a smoothie company that fits with them, you know? There's not a brand that fits with it, people. Okay. Everything is so tropical, so colorful, so like, oh, it doesn't talk to me. Like, there's not a brand that I wanted to use a t-shirt and say, oh, look, here's my smooth cup. So that's what we did. That's why I think you saw our, like, our photo, our logo, and say, all right, that's what I want to go, because it's all clean. It's all like cream white, some off white, and just like our logo, it's like a line. And the color comes from the product, not from the store. Like the products have the color, not the store. That's it. So it's something like, I always like when I'm trying to get a new store in a mall, I say, all right, you can put me in the front of a Louis V, that they're not going to tell, oh, take this shit out of here. Like, I don't want this fruity stuff over here, because we are not that fruity stuff. So I did that not just for the Brazilian customers. I did that for the American customers, for the Australian customers, for the whole world. Because we already are going to open 2 stores in Australia in September. So I don't want to be like just a Brazilian company. I want to be a worldwide company. So we created everything to be worldwide.
That's really exciting. And I think you're exactly right. I wouldn't want to necessarily have a Jamba Juice cup, because that logo doesn't scream quality. It screamed more fast food. And I think you totally killed that with what the Smooth logo was. You totally got that. And so I want to discuss the Australia expansion, but I first want to talk about Brazil. And you mentioned the mall. And I think I want to paint the picture for the people of the location in Fighting Lima that I went to. It was like a little kind of kiosk on the road. And I'm about to ask a question from the American perspective. So it seems like every single home, every single office in Sao Paulo is behind a large fence. And security is a huge component of that. But if you're a quick service restaurant operating on the street, you want to invite people in. So is there a security issue for a location like that, where you have technology and capital on the road unprotected? Or is that something that an American sees and it's just not true?
No, we had the security issue here in Brazil. Like 10 days ago, a customer stopped her car just like in the front of our store, and she forgot to lock the car. And there was a Uber driver. We got here something that it's called iFood, that it's people in motorcycles who deliver the food from the restaurants. And these guys, they are like, some guys are not from iFood. They are not the guys who work from iFood, but they have like all the t-shirt, the bag, and everything. And they pretend to be, and they just keep walking to see someone who like with the phone or something like that. And the woman like left her purse inside the car. And when she was like doing the, she was asking for the smoke, the guy like opened the car and took her purse. And it was like our first security issue in the store. So we are like, we don't like here in Brazil, we don't have this walking system. Like we don't do walking stuff. We don't do it like that because of the security. We just do like short distances. So I can't open a store where, like in the United States, like, all right, I can put a store here because I know that it's going to have had foot traffic here. No, not going to have because of the security. So I have to put everything of the store. It's security basis, you know? So our tablet, it's in the right, so the people don't stay on the street side. So, because if you are like doing your like seeing the menu and I've seen you doing your order, then if you're with your phone in your hand, somebody gonna take it. So we put that inside the location, because you see they had some gates where we are. It's open, but it has some gate. Mm-hmm. So we put on the right side. We are opening a store in Oscar Freire in Brazil. So it's like it's in the street, but we did not put the iPad on the street part because of the security. We put like inside the space. So the people have to go in and make the order. It would be great to be in the street, but we can't do that here. So every time you're going to open a business here, you have to think about the security, like the first thing.
Wow, that's very interesting to hear. Another thing that I want to hear from the business owner perspective is, what is it like hiring people in Brazil for that sort of, what we would call in the United States, minimum wage retail position? Is there a surplus of labor? Is it really hard to find labor? Is it hard to keep them? And then something that I think would be quite interesting to people from other countries, what is the wage per hour of someone in that sort of position?
Right. We don't pay for hour here. We don't have that culture, like paying for hour. It would be great, but it's kind of difficult because our educational system, it's inverted. Like, we don't give people elementary school. We give them like the free, not high school, college. It's college, right? When you do faculdade, when you do like college, right? I don't remember exactly but like college here are for free and they are really good. You have like the best universities are the federal university, the state universities. We don't have like the elementary school, really good. So when you get somebody, the minimum wage people, they like don't know how to read. They don't know how to use a computer. So it's really hard. Like it's really hard to find somebody. But we pay like something for 6 hours. We pay something about $400 for 6 hours. And
400
for
AI?
6 hours, we pay like some, no, $400.
So $400 for 6 hours?
For 6 hours in a month.
In a month. Okay.
It's really low.
So 6 hours a day and then over a month.
Six days a week.
Okay. So over 6 hours.
Yeah.
6 days a week. Okay. So let's do $400 and then divide that by 6 days and then 6 hours. So it would be 6 times 4 days, 24. So that is about $2.7 an hour. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
And I, it's really low, but it's what we can pay because of the taxes, you know, like here, the taxes are ridiculous. Like if you're paying that for an employee, you have to pay like the double for the government and like for the whatever vacation. When our employee is in vacation, we pay them and we give them like 30% more as a bonus. Like, I don't know why, but we have to pay that. We have to put some money in a kind of a, how can I explain? I don't even know how to
like a retirement account,
but it's like a retirement account, but it stays with the government, the money.
Social security.
It's ridiculous. So it's kind of social security, but if you're going to not hiring, when I'm kicking out the people from my company, I forgot the name, but when I have to like
firing.
Run somebody out from my company, firing, I have to pay like 40% of what I have put in this social security system. So it's, you have to do a math and like what you pay for them, you have to just save 40% of what you pay for this extra stuff that you're going to have. So it's really, really, really high what we pay them because of the government. It's not because of the, like the entrepreneurs. So it's really hard. And so like, we would prefer to pay more for these people to give them the money in their hands so they can do whatever they want with their money, with their lives. But we have this stuff. And like, if we don't do that, like people, when they are fired or if they want to leave, they sue you afterwards and they're going to win. Like, even if you're right, they're going to win. And you have to pay a lot more. So it's kind of a tricky stuff. But like from the people who work like 8 hours, we pay something about $600 a month. And like we have to pay like food for them. We have to give them 1 hour a day for lunch. There's a lot of things that we have to give them extra. Difference from the people who work 6 hours in the stores.
That's very interesting. And then, so how difficult and how do you attract this demographic to work in your store? Are there organizations that you go out to? Do you put out something online or how difficult is it to get people in? And then what is that process of interviewing the candidate and ensuring that they'd be a good fit for Spook?
It's really hard because the social difference, it's really, really, really high. But I was from the poor community. I grew up in Campo Limpo. It's jobs. It's in São Paulo, but it's kind of, it's not a favela, but it's almost a favela that you guys know here. So I know how to talk with them. I know everything about it. And my father is a reverend. So he's from the Anglican Church. He's a priest. And he has a social job here. He has a creche. Creche is a children stuff, like
not a
child care, but it's charity.
Okay.
Yeah, like a daycare, but it's one of the biggest favelas of Brazil. And it over there, we have like 1,000 kids that go there. And I started going in the teachers who teach there. So I talked to them, like, do you have any familiar that I can talk to, like your sister, your like brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your, I don't know, your aunt, something like that. And they start giving me names. I start calling them and doing the interviews because this favela, it's really near Faria Lima. It's really near where we are opening the stores. Not really near, but like 40 minutes taking the bus or the metro. Mm-hmm. So I started like that. And now every time that we are going to open a store, we ask them to get us another names. So we use their contacts to hire more people. But we never put friends in the same store. We put them in different stores. So yeah, because
why?
They can't work together. It's like,
really? You tell me.
Friends working together, they start doing like, seeing like some videos in WhatsApp or Instagram, and they start showing each other, and like the customers, it's like just standing, waiting to be like, all right, so can I make a question over here? Can I make an order? And they are like talking and doing like jokes. So it's hard to put them to work together. They can make friendship like in the store, but not like start as friends, you know, because it's really hard, like better not having that.
Have you ever had to fire anybody, and why did you have to fire them?
I have to fire just one girl until now, because she worked like really well. She was like kindly, she was lovely. But as I said, the elementary school in Brazil, it's ridiculous. They don't have nothing. And like, it really broke my heart firing her because she can't like do nothing. Like, she can't turn on a computer with the system to work. She has like, and we stayed with her for 3 months trying to teach her to do everything, but it was like impossible. So we fired him, not him, her. And I still talk with her. I said, I'm going to like hire you back to do something else. I don't know what. I'm going to have you in this move, like to do something in our office. I don't know, like, because she's like, she's a lovely girl, kind, but she can't do like normal stuff. Like, it was really hard, really, really, really hard.
That's very interesting. Okay, so we talked about the human capital component. One of the, I want to ask if there's any other differences. You mentioned that there's like extra taxes, there's certain laws where you have to pay for their vacation. You know, I know I'm talking to a restaurant owner in Buenos Aires, there was an issue with union. So is there a union issue? Are there issues with other laws? What are those other things of attracting human capital that are difficult?
Yeah, we have some unions here. So they put like the minimum wage that you can pay for employees. So like if they're going to work 8 hours, you have to pay at least like 2,000 reais. And like sometimes you can't pay that because it's impossible.
The numbers don't work.
What we do, we hired, the numbers don't work. So we hired them to work like 6 hours, you know, and that's what we are doing. So we pick like one to work 8 hours, and we put them like as a leader of the store, and the other, he put like 6 hours a day. So we don't have to follow the union. It's a way to do this stuff and to hire people, because I want to hire people. I want to like everybody work like the store like runs well, but it's impossible. Like if I'm going to pay you 2,000, I have to give like extra 1,000 and something for the government. So it's almost impossible. And I have to do like all these certificates, like health certificates. I, I can't even tell everything that I have. There's a company for everything. Like, all right, I have to see my store if everything is good. So I have to hire a company to see like the volume of the blender. It is too high, so I have to pay them like a month fee, so they can keep seeing if there's the restroom. It's so good. If the blenders are not in a different spot, so it's dangerous for the workers and like. But nobody knows exactly all the laws, so you have to hire a lot of people so they can tell you what you have to follow. So this is some issue that you have in this third world countries, because everything, like, they put a lot of difficulties so they can like be corruptive, being like specific.
That's very interesting. So if there was one law you could change, what would that law be?
Like, here we have something, it's called carteira de trabalho. It's a work system program. When you hire someone, they want to be registered. Like, they're going to work here from not something here from here. And the company has a lot of obligations with the employee, but they don't have nothing with us. So if I can change that, I would like rip that thing off. That's called CLT. That is a model of hiring people. And I think that everybody, it's like grown and knows enough to know what it's good for them. So, all right. So if I'm going to hire Trip, I'm going to pay you $2,000 in your hand. Like, you know what to do with your money. You know if it's good for you to work 6 hours, 8 hours. Like, if you want to start working. So it's something that the company should like negotiate with the employee, and that's it. Like, we know what is good for each other. If you want like a health insurance, if you want like a pension fund, whatever, like, you know what you want to do with your money. The government shouldn't like state what to do with your money. It's your money. It's not them, their money. So I think I would change that, so everybody would be free to do whatever they want with their money. And I think that if you like took that CLT out of the way, the entrepreneurs would be like happy as hell, so they can hire and whatever they want, pay whatever they want and how they can pay. Of course, like, you have to have something to see what is going on, because there are some guys that wants to have it all and nobody has nothing. So I think the government should just see how everything is going. And like, if there's something that it's like you're paying, I don't know, $100 for the guy to work like 15 hours a day, you don't give them break, you don't give them nothing. All right, you're wrong. You're being like but you're not being cool. You're not like caring for those people so they can grow with your company. But I think that who does that? The company is not going to be big because nobody wants to work there. So I think it would be like a free market. I think the free market is the best thing ever.
I certainly don't disagree with that. And I totally understand the government wanting to make things better for the workers. But sometimes more rules actually have the opposite effect. And I completely agree with what you're saying there. One of the things that we discussed when I met you in Brazil was the venture capital and the ability to to build your business using capital from investors. So where have you gotten the money thus far? And do you have any plans to take on investors and scale it to the biggest place on earth?
We have, because like the difficulty in Brazil is because we have interest rates like really high. So if you just put your money in the bank and sit on the top of it, you're going to have a profit of like 14% in a year, like liquid.
Wow.
So taking risk. Yeah. So taking risk with your money, besides like just sitting and having like 14, 13, 15% like liquid, I think really profit. Not, you don't have to pay like taxes and nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to get this venture capital. I got some guys that are with me. They are really good in what they do. They are the founders of Oakberry. So they put a stamp on our brand that the the investors were like, all right, so if these guys are with these kids, I think they have a future. So we got a Fabiano Zetto, he's an investor. He has a
venture capital
family fund, just his money, but I'm going to just to say as a family fund, it's just his money. And he put like $300,000 in our company for 15% of the business. And that like gave us a big help. So we can like take a deep breath and do good things, like more, like thinking more, like not going so fast, not so slow. So that's it. And I think now growing and having like 9 stores, we are selling some franchises here. We're talking to some people, opening the Australian business. I think it's going to give us more name in the market, and it will be like easier to get more money. But I think that our investors that are already inside, they're not, they don't want to lose nothing. So I think it's going to be like inside money that's going to happen over here.
That totally makes sense. And why Australia?
My friend was in a trip and there's his business partner. Start saying, I want to open a smoothie business here in Australia. I'm starting to create something. And he laughed and said, all right, don't do nothing. I already have a guy that did everything. The brand is cool. It's clean. It's like pretty fancy, but the product is really good. And like, I think it talks to the A public, the B public. And I think you guys should talk. And we talk it. He already did it a great job with other brands in Australia. And Australia is a big market for the smoothie business. They have like 2 brands there that run 85% of the market. So there's a lot of gap that you can get it. And the brands are not like not delicate. They are not like, I don't want to use the word fancy, you know, because fancy is like kind of fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get like with the brand, you know, what we said earlier, like you don't get your moody cup and say, all right, this represents me. This is it.
Yes.
It's like an orange cup. Like it's not cool. So
yeah,
everything happened so fast. And I don't think like nothing is, I think God knows everything. So I said, all right, let's do it. And that's the reason we started in Australia. We are talking to do something in London, the same thing. I was traveling. I met a guy that we were having dinner and he said, all right, I love the smoothie business. I love what you did in Brazil. It would be great to do something in London. I said, all right, let's do it. Like you have to go after this and that. I can give you like everything. I have like the recipes, the brand, everything. And you just have to go after the fruits because like the fruits are not so hard to find because India and China, they are the biggest fig producers of the world. Brazil is the third one, but we are like way, way, way lower than India and China. So it's not hard to find fruits in any country. So We don't have a fruit that is specific just from Brazil, just from Indonesia, just from United States. Like the fruits, it's like mango, passion fruit, apple, strawberry, blueberry. So you can find this like any place in the world. You just have to put them together in the right like recipe.
And that's it.
You're done.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So I've been astonished at what you've achieved thus far. You have attention to detail, which is amazing. The product was phenomenal. Your growth and your vision for the future is stunning. So congratulations on all of that. The final question that I want to ask is Peter Thiel's famous contrarian question, but with a uniquely Semilla VC twist. So the question is, what is one important truth that you believe about Brazil that very few people agree with you on?
It's a hard question.
It's really hard in Suwon. The thing in Brazil that I think, oh my God, this is a tricky question. Like, you always do this question because, like,
every
you
time
can answer that?
Yes.
My God. So I think that it's a great place to live. And besides of the security, besides of our money, doesn't like, oh my God, like 100 reais, it's like $28. So it's nothing. Like, if you make money here, you're not making money in the world. Like, you know, when you travel, your money, it's nothing. But it's, you can have like almost everything that you can, like in São Paulo. I'd say actually in São Paulo, right? But the people here are really nice, really kindly. So you never feel like really alone because you can make friends like easy. So if you have to move to Belo Horizonte and you are from São Paulo, you're going to be warm welcome there. You're gonna be, like, so I think here is a great place to live. Like, we have great schools. It's expensive, you know. What I paid for my kids to go into school, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like in the United States, you got your public school, it's really good. Here, I have to pay for my kid that 1 year and a half, I pay $1,000 per month. So he can go there and eat sand and paint, like whatever. And it's what they do with 1 year and a half. They don't do nothing. They eat sand and that's it. So it's really expensive, but it's easy to make money because it's a third world country. You just have to see what is happening in a first world country and it will just apply here with a little tropicalization and it's going to have success. So I think it's great to live because it's easy to make money, but not money for America. It's make money to Brazil and you have a really good life, you know. You can live in a nice house, you can have like a maid, you can have like a something like that for your kid. And most people don't agree with that, but it's something that I see, like living in Brazil. I have a dream to live abroad, everything else, but I think Brazil, it's, you have this stuff that everybody loves it. Like every gringo loves this when they come to Brazil and they want to live here because you can do like whatever you want. We have laws, but we don't have laws, you know. You can like drink in the street, you can like sport until you want, and that's it.
Amazing. What a great answer. Leonardo, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Simi VC podcast today. I very much appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate the invite and thanks for going and stopping in our shop and liking the products. That was like, because you know, you're a Californian, you're from America, and you try like a smoothie in Brazil. And you really enjoy it. So for us, that would like, I will never forget that. Every time that I do a meeting here, everybody that wants to know about this move, I tell your story and said, all right, that was the time there's a Californian kid that went to my store and he said it was one of the best movies he had in his life. So I thank you for that and hope soon we're going to be in California so you can have your smoothie there.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for watching this episode of Simia VC. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you view the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Borman Tripp. And be sure to check out our newsletter, Dealflow LA, which can be found by going to dealflow.la.